Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday with discussing the psulim, or the items that make a person ineligible to take a shvua. So the Mishnah states that if a person takes a false shvua, even shvuat shav, they're disqualified from then taking shvuot in the future. Then the Mishnah lists other items that are psulim, that also make it impossible or make it that a person is unable to take a shvuah. And what are those? And the Mishnah lists, saf, misachik bekubia, malve, biribit, mafriche yonim, all of these items that are also mentioned in the Mishnah in the beginning of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara wants to know, why is this? Hayachem men misachik bekubia, hatu lamali, why do I need this extensive list? After already I know that if someone's a rush, or if someone violates the Shvuat Shav and violates the Sirei Torah, that he's precluded from taking a Shvuah. So when it says, Tana Psulo Doraito, first of all, the Mishnah deals with things that disqualify him min haTorah, which is that he's a rasha, someone who takes Shvuat Shav, Shvuat Sheker, he's not trusted to take a Shvuah. Viktoni Psulo Dorabonon. And then those other items, as we mentioned in the Mishnah of Sanhedrin, these are only things that are items that are psulim midrabanan. And despite the fact that they're psulim midrabanan, they disqualify him from, in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, from being an aid, and in our Mishnah, from taking a shivuah. And Rashi points out that Misachek Bekubia is gazlan derabananu. Over here, he's a gazlan mi derabanan. Damrin asmachta lokanya, because we hold it asmachta lokanya. Rashi also back on Lamed Aleph under Aleph says the same thing. I mentioned it both times that the fact that Rashi mentions the problem here as being Gazlan Rabbanon or Asmachta Lokanyo is interesting just because we generally favor the position of Rabbi Yehuda that the problem is Mipnei Yeshuvo Shalom. The problem is that these people are not Asuch Yeshuvo Shalom, but rather they are entertaining or they are involved in games of chance and gambling, which are not asuk b'shuvo shalom, and that's what's posel them from being edim, posel them for taking shvot, because they don't understand or they're not in tune with other people's feelings and the needs or the considerations of others. Right now, the Mishnah continues with the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hayu shneim chashudim," in a case where they both are chashud. So there they have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. It says, Ayush neim chashudim, chazra shvua lemkoma, divi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the shvua goes back to its place. Rabbi Meir omer yachloku. Rabbi Meir says that they should divide it, they should split it. So now the Gemara says, Amalei rovo the Rav Nachman. Rav says to Rav Nachman, hey chaitnan, how does your Mishnah read over here? And Amalei lo yodana. I don't know. I don't know how to read the Mishnah. I don't know what my gears in the Mishnah is. Hilcha tamai, what's the halacha? And again, Amalei lo yadana. I don't know what the halacha is in this case. Itmar. Amar Rav Yossi bar Mnume, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yossi Amar Yechloku. So we have in the name of Rav Yossi bar Mnume, in the name of Rav Nachman, that Rav Yossi is the one who says Yechloku, they should split it, which is the opposite of what we have in our mission. In our mission it says Rav Yossi Omer Chuzelim Koma, and Rav Meir is the one who says Yechloku. So according to this reading, it would be that Rav Yossi is the one who says Yechloku, V'chein Tani Rav Zvid bar Oshia, Rav Yossi Omer Yechloku, and we also have a Brito that is brought by Rav Zvid bar Oshia, that Rav Yossi is the one who says Yechloku. Rav Zvid, Amar Rav Yossi Omer Yechloku. Again, the same statement that we just had from Rav Zvid Bar Oshia. And then, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Nunan, Avod Rav Nachman Uvdo Yechloku. So over here, Rav Yossi Bar Nunan, instead of quoting a braisa that is in the name of Rav Nachman stating that it's Rav Yossi who says Yechloku, rather over here it says, Avod Rav Nachman Uvdo, that he actually passed in this way, that Yechloku. In a case where Shneim Chashudim, that they actually are Yechloku, they split it. So over here we have a group of memrot that seem to indicate that the Girsun, our Mishnah, is the opposite of what they had, which is that our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachzir Shvadim Koma, and Rabbi Meir says Yachloku, and over here they all had their Mishnayot, or Braitot, read that it's Rabbi Yossi who says Yachloku. And we have also that Rabbi Nachman, who generally the loch is like him, Bedine, says Yachloku over here. Now, the Mishnah says, Chazra Shvalim Koma, if Shneim Chashudim means that one of them was supposed to take the Shua, he was Chashud, so we flip it to the other party. The other party now is also Chashud, so he can't take the Shua, so neither party can take the Shua. What do we do? So we say, Chazra Shvalim Koma. What does that mean? That's an ambiguous term. What does it mean, Chazra Shvalim Koma? So it turns out to be a machlokis, Leichen Chazra, where does it go? Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbatinu Shebavel, the Rabbanon in Bavel, Amru Chazra Shvala Sinai. Shvala goes back to Sinai, and as Rashi explains, Shvala Har Sinai means it goes back to where it came from. Right, that just like the Shua emanated from Har Sinai, it returns to that point, which means that it has no bearing on our case. The Shua is now eliminated as a vehicle or a methodology for us to decide in this case. Since the Shua, neither party can take a Shavua, we say, nothing to do here. And that's what Rashi says, the Shua Har Sinai, Shishbiya Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Alot Igzol, Behu Yifram in a Kofer Mamon Chaveiro. Hashem takes over as the judge in this case, and he will take retribution on the person who denies the money that he owes. Aval Beitin Ein Yitzkakin Lo L'Shua V'Lo L'Pir'on. Over here, Beis Din has no vehicle for adjudication. Since they have no vehicle for adjudication because they don't have the ability or the process of Shavua anymore, they put their hands up and they say, we have nothing to do with this case anymore. We don't have Shavua, we don't have Piron, we can't go through, we let it go, and Hashem takes care of the situation. So that's what Rabbeinu Deinu Shebavel say, but when Shnehem Chashudin, right, it goes back, Chazra, Shavua, the Sinai. Rabbeinu Shebaret Yisrael, those that are in Eretz Yisrael, Amru, Chazra, Shavua, the Mechuyav La. Again, this sounds much more like Pshat in the Mishnah, right? Chazra Shua the Sinai is not so simple to read into the words of Chazra Shua Limkoma. Limkoma obviously means it's origins, right? Origination, which would be Sinai, but it's still very difficult to read that into the Mishnah. The Avodeinu Shavarei Yisrael seem to be more Pshat, which is Chazra Shua Limkoyavla. The Shua returns to the one who's obligated to take it. Meaning that we have a Shua Doraita, so an individual is Chayiv in a Shua Doraita, he's unable to take it, so we flip that Shua onto the other party. That other party is also unable to take it, so we say, Chazra Shua Limkoma. Let's go back to the basics, back to the origins. What's the basics? Is that the one who's Chayiv Shua Midoraita has got to take the Shua. Well, he can't take the Shua. So then what does that mean? Mitoch Sheni Chol Lishava. Right? Chayav Lishalim. Because he can't take the Shua, he pays. So that's the, right, that'll be the answer in the end, which is if you can't take a Shua, you have to pay. Who's the one who's on the hook here? The one who was obligated, right, to Min HaTorah to take the Shavua. Samra Papa, Rabbi Tenu Shebavel, Rabbi Shmuel. Who are the rabbis that we're talking about in Bavel? The Rabbanon of Bavel, that's Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Tenu Sheberetz Yisrael, who's the representative, or what are we talking about when we say Rabbi Tenu Sheberetz Yisrael? That's Rabbi Avot. Rabbi Tenu Shebavel, Rabbi Shmuel. How do I know that the Rabbi Tenu Shebavel was Rabbi Shmuel? That's not. We have our Mishnah. B'chein ha-yitomim lo yifru'u elo b'shvua. It says in our Mishnah, the yitomim may not pay, right, or they may not make a collection from whom, we don't know, but they may not collect without a shvua. Vavinoba, and we ask on our Mishnah, miman, who is it? I mean, this is coming up in the Gemara, right, on Memchet, which is going to discuss that part of the Mishnah, which is, who are these yitomim collecting from that they need to take a shvua? Ilema mi love, right? If you're talking about they're taking it from a love, right, some debtor. So then, avuan shakil below shvua, their father could take this without a shvua. V'inhu b'shvua, and they require a shvua. I mean, their father's allowed to collect from a debtor without having to take any shvua. Why is it over here that they have to take a shvua? Elochi kamar. This is what it means. V'chein yitomim min yitomim. These yitomim who are collecting from yitomim, we saw in the mission, we know that a person, a creditor who wants to come and make collection from yitomim, lo yifra elo b'shvua. He cannot collect from yitomim except with a shvua. So the same is true when we're talking about yitomim themselves. If yitomim, that means that the children of a creditor who are coming to collect from the children of a debtor, they also must take a shvua over here in order to collect. Rabbi Shmuel damrei tavayu. Rabbi Shmuel explained to us that only applies lo shanu el shemet malve b'chaye love. That's only true when the malve predeceases the love. Because in that case, the malve is gone, right? The creditor is gone, and the love is still there. So now the children of the malve, the children of the creditors, can come along and collect from the love without having to take any shvua. There's no need for a shvua. It's only after the love, after the debtor dies, and it's his children are there, that we make them take a shvua that was not repaid, or they know no information. They have no, their father didn't command them, they didn't find the shofar, and that they have no information, they take a shvua. But, aval meit love b'chayim malve. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, which is that the debtor predeceases the malve, kvar nitchayev malve livnei love shvua. In that case, the malve is now obligated to take a shvua. Why? Because we have a general principle that when it comes to taking piraon from yitomim, you must take a shvua. That means when the love, when the debtor passed away, and the malve, who's still alive, the creditor is still alive, you have to now take a shvua in order to collect from these yitomim. But then he dies. Ve'ein adam morish shvua libanav. But when he dies, he's unable to pass the shvua to his children. I mean that he's obligated to take a shvua, and the children are unable to take the shvuah that their father was obligated to take. That's what Rashi says. Ve'ein adam morish shvuah livnei levanav mamon shu mechuyav alav shvuah, money or monetary right, obligations that require shvuah to collect. Alma hoel v'hu mechuyav shvuah, he's chayav shvuah, shvuah itkabalti chobzeh, that he did not collect on it. Ve'yitomim einon yecholim lishavakein, they are unable to take such a shvuah. Since they're unable to take such a shvuah, chazra shvuah l'sinai, ven kan lo shvuah v'lo pir'on. So Rashi says, in adam marish shvuah levanav, and since they cannot take the shvuah over here, because they're unable to take the shvuah of their father would have to make a statement of fact, which is that I never collected on the loan. The yitonim are unable to make that same shvuah. It's impossible for them to state that because they just don't know. They're not the balim, they're not the creditors of this loan. And since they're not the creditor, they can't make the shvuah. Since they can't take the shvuah, they're unable to collect in this case. And therefore, Rav and Shmuel in this case say, Chazra shvuah l'sinai. Chazra shvuah l'sinai means, Ve'en kan lo shvuah v'lo pir'on. There's no shvuah, there's no payment, that it goes away, everything falls apart, and there's no collection, but there's also, right, no shvuah. There's nothing to do in this case. So that's how we know Rav and Shmuel's position, that what it means, Chazra shvuah l'sinai. And on the other hand, Aval, over here, if it comes to Rabbi Tanu Shri Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abu, how do we know that? Da'u gavra t'chotof nasko mechavre, this person who grabbed a piece of ingot from his friend, atal l'kamei d'Rabbi Ami, came for Rabbi Ami, v'yoti Rabbi Abu kamei, and Rabbi Abu was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami, ayti chatzado d'michotof chotva minei, he brings a single aid in that this person took it, he grabbed it out of his house, took it away from him, grabbed it out of his hands. Amalei, so he responds, the defendant in the case responds, in, chotfi, I did take it, I grabbed it away from him. Vididi chotfi, on the other hand, it was mine. The reason I took it is because it's my possession, and that's why I grabbed it. So Amarabi, Ami, hechid li daini, the high dino. Right, we've had this before. How is a dayan able to adjudicate this case? Namele zil shlim, if we say to him, go pay back the money that you just grabbed or you stole away, leketres ade. We don't have two witnesses. You can't be motzi mamon without two witnesses. All we have is eid echad over here. Niftere, let him go free. Ikachad zado. We have one aid over here that's testifying that he needs to, that he stole it. So namele zil ishtabo. So let's say to him, go take a shvuah. Kevand amar michtof chatfe, havele ki gazlan. So since he already took it over here, he grabbed it, he has a din of a gazlan. The way Rashi reads it, it's not that he's literally a gazlan over here. Rashi says, what does it mean he was a gazlan? Rashi says, Gabi hach shvuah upasul ki gazlan. Not that he's really a gazlan, but with regard to this shvuah, he's pasul, he has a din like a gazlan. It's also shvuot. The way that a gazlan is treated by other shvuot, he is treated by this shvuah. Why? Because over here you can't say that he takes a shvuah that he is his item that he stole. That's not the obligation. The Eid Echad says you stole it. The only shvuah that he can take, he has a shvuah that responds to the Eid Echad. The shvuah to respond to the Eid Echad would say that deny what the Eid Echad says. I did not steal it. That he can't do because he already said he did take it or he grabbed it. It just with the Didi Echad fe. So even if he takes a shvuah that I stole it and it was mine, or I grabbed it and it was mine, that does not address the obligation that was created by the Eid Echad. So Rashi says the failure of here, his inability to take the shvuah, is because he can't respond to the Eid Echad. It's not that he's pasul to take the shvuah, it's just that he has no ability to respond to the Eid Echad because he already, by his dibur, said that it's not the case. He agrees with the Eid Echad. And therefore he can't take a shvuah. On the other hand, Tosfos believes that he's really pasul. But when he says shvuah, he's like a gazlan, he's pasul because he was choteif. Over here, he grabbed it. And since he grabbed it, right, therefore he becomes a pasul l'shvuah. When he agrees or he admits that he was choteif, then he's a pasul l'shvuah. He's pasul l'shvuah. You can't take the shvuah. It's not a problem that, right, it's his inability to take the shvuah because he's not responding to the Eid Echad, but the inability here is because he is no longer able to take shvuot. He is a pasul l'shvuah. He's a pasul l'shvuah. He can't take a shvuah. So he can't respond in this case to it. So now, Amalei Rabbi Abba, this is the Rabbi Abba that we're looking for. He's obligated to and now he can't take a shvuah. Anybody who's chayav a shvuah and cannot take the shvuah, mishalem, he pays. Someone who cannot take a shvuah, right, is obligated to pay. If he's obligated to take a shvuah, unable to take the shvuah, then he pays. And that's what our Mishnah means. What does it mean that Chechan Chazra? Chechan Chazra is Shvala Mechuyavla. The Shvala goes back to the original person who's obligated over here, meaning the Modi Miksat, the one who is Chayav Midoraisa. And we say, take the Shvah. Can't take the Shvah, you pay. Right, that's the answer. You're on the hook for the money because if you are obligated to take the Shvah and you can't take it, you're on the hook for it. So now, Tosos points out over here, you can see this Tosos, Matok Sheni Yecholi Shavah Mishalem, says, Dafko B'chashud Shalei Yafkiyo Mamono Mimenu. Right there, when it comes to a chashur al shavua, right, that we're afraid that people will come and willy-nilly take his money away. Because if he's chashur al shavua, and then we say that he can't take the shavua, he's got to pay, you know what everybody's going to do? Everybody's going to come make claims against him. They'll make up claims against him. They'll come to court and say, he owes me money. So that person will be, whether he's kofar bakol, whether he's mother miksat, they'll have to take a shavua. He can't take the shavua, you have to pay. So over there we say, b'tiknul hapeich shvua. So therefore they were attacking to flip the shvua on the other party in that instance, in order to prevent people, claimants coming and making willy-nilly claims against someone who's chasud shvua. Otherwise that person will be exposed to monetary claims all the time, because you have no response to any monetary claims. Aval hocha. In our case over here, u'b'chamishim lo yadana mishalim. Over here, when he says, I don't know, right, or I mean, the case of Chamishim, which is coming up, where he says, Lo Yidan, I don't know. Or in our case over here, by Nasko de Rabbi Abba, when he says, right, I can't take the Shavua, or he's unable to take the Shavua, we do not flip the Shavua on the other party. We say, Mitok Sheni Yecholi Shava, Mishalein. Since he can't take the Shavua, he pays up over here. Now, the Chachanami, it also says, B'matnita, and also in our Mishnah, Kevin Shemutala Yitomim, Shvat Avihem, in case you told me, Rechayim Shvat Avihem, Eyecholi Mishava, Mishalim B'nei Aluveh. So since the, this is an amazing statement by Tosfos says here, according to Rabbi Avo, the Yotomim now are obligated to take a Shavua. Their father, the Malveh, should have taken a Shavua. They can't take the Shavua because their father is not Morish Shavua to them. So opposed to Rabbi Shmuel say, Ein Adam Morish Shavua Lebanav, and therefore what happens with Rabbi Shmuel? Nothing happens. Ein Piron, Ein Shavua. But Rabbi Avo says, no. If you can't take a Shavua, what happens? Chazra L'mechuyavla goes back to one's obligated, and you pay. Wait a minute, who can't take the Shavua over here? The one who can't take the Shavua over here is the Malveh, or the children of the Malveh. So now, Mitok Shein Yecholi Shavua, Mishalim. You know what Tosfos says? Yes. And listen to this, Tosfos, unbelievable. Ein Yecholi Shavua, Mishalim, Bnei Aloveh. Even though it's the Bnei Malveh that can't take the Shavua, the Bnei Aloveh pay. The Lo Shna Mechuyav HaToveya Shavua, the Lo Shna Mechuyav HaNidva Shavua. It doesn't matter whether it's the Toveh, the claimant, or the defendant that's Chayav the Shavua here. The Ein Yecholi Shavua, Oto Shavua Shechayav, and he can't take the Shavua that he's obligated, Mishalim HaNidva. The defendant has to pay. So Tosfos says, according to Rabbi Avo, you always pay. But the one who pays is always the defendant, right? The defendant is the one who's paying, even though it might be that it's not the defendant's shvua that can't be taken. Like in the case of Yitomim in our Mishnah, it's actually the claimants who can't take the shvua. But since they can't take a shvua, we go back to the basics, or we go back to the obligation, the underlying obligation. What's the underlying obligation here is that they have to pay. And the Bnei Loveh will have to pay up over here, according to Rabbi Avo. That's the way Tosfos explains it, that it doesn't matter which way or who is the one that doesn't take the Shavua. Either way, the Nidva is on the hook in this case. As opposed to Rav and Shmuel, who say that it's Chazrat to Shavua the Sinai, who say, Ein kandin Shavua, you lose it then, b'chol, he gav na pokal milveh. The milveh dries up, there's nothing to do. So there's nothing to do, right? Then we can't handle the situation, or Beis Din won't deal or adjudicate this case, and leaves it up to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Misha Para. Hashem will take care of those that cheat, or those who do not tell the truth over here. Right. Now, the Gemara continues. Amar Rava, Kavati the Rabbi Avo Mistabro. The position of Rabbi Avo, the Rabban of Eretz still makes sense. The Tani Rabbi Ami. Because we have a Braisa from Rabbi Ami. Shvat Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shnehem. Velo Ben HaYorshim. Shvat Hashem should be between them, and not between the Yorshim. Hey Chidami, what's the case here? If he says, Manela Abba B'yad Avichu, right, my father, right, you owe my father 100 zuz. Mean that manel abo, my father's 100 biyad avicha is being held by your father. The zamarle, and they respond chamshin itle v'chamshin leitle. They say 50 yes, you're right that he owes the 50, but 50 no. Malihu mali avua. Why does it make a difference whether we're talking about the yitomim over here or we're talking about the father? I mean, it doesn't make a difference over here. This is a case of. Right, he's making a definitive claim over here. We have a modiv and miktzat. Modrin makes sense where they're making a definitive claim. They're saying, I owe 50, I don't owe 50, the other 50. If they're making a definitive claim, take a shvuah. I mean, what we're afraid of, as Rashi says before, what's the problem here? The problem is not that they're psulim, or they can't somehow take the shvuah. The problem is that they're unable to take the shvuah. They're unable to take the shvuah because they don't know the information. But over here, where they're claiming that they do know the information, and they have the ability to take the shvuah, let them take the shvuah. What's it make a difference if it's them or their father? If they think they know the information, take the shvuah on that information. Elav, what's the case here? Damalei mono de abba biyadavicha. Your father owes my father 100. Damalei chamshin yadano. Says, I know about 50 of it. Chamshin lo yadano, but the other 50 I don't know. So that was the case that Tosfos brought up before. Chamshin lo yadano. Chamshin lo yadano sounds like what? He's mitok sheinu chol yishavah. Now you can't take a shvuah because chamshin lo yadano. So what would you think to do? You think to flip the shvuah on the other party. Tosfos says we don't flip the shvuah in these cases. So now he says, chamshin yadano, we know about 50, the other 50 we don't know. So now, if you say Bishlama Aviv ki hai gavna michayev, if you say in that case that the father would have to pay up, why would the father have to pay up? You have a case of modeh b'miktzat, but the other half, you're not a kofer. You are modeh in half, but you're not kofer in the other half. So what shvuah are you going to take? You say lo yadan on the second half, there's no shvuah. You can't take the shvuah modeh b'miktzat. Shvuah modeh b'miktzat is that I'm not chaya more than that half. But we don't know that. He can't take such a shvuah. So if you say in that instance, mitok shechayav lishavah, he's supposed to take a shvuah, veinu chol lishavah, and he can't take the shvuah, chayav. Now he's obligated to pay. So in that case, if you say the father's obligated to pay, that's why I need itzrich kral miftar gabi yorshim. That's why by the yorshim, if they make a similar claim, we have a pasuk that says, patur. So that's what the brisa means, meaning that mono the abba yerevi chamalei chamshin itle chamshin leitei. So for this case, shvat Hashem ben shneim below ben yorshim. What does it mean? Shvat Hashem ben shneim is by the two parties below ben yorshim, but not between the yitomim. That means the yitomim. There's no obligation of a shvuah. There's no obligation of the shvuah. Then there's no eno chol yishabah mishalei. So that's why they're pturim over here. But had the case been at the level of the creditor and the debtor, he would have had to take a shvuah over here. So that's what the Gemara says. That makes sense according to Rabbi Abba. According to Rabbi Abba says that when you can't take a shvuah, you pay. That makes sense. But according to Shvab and Shmuel, who say when it comes to a shvuah that you can't take, chazer shvuah with Sinai, why over here should they? Why should you have to have a ptur for the children? The father wouldn't even take a shvuah over here. We wouldn't even obligate the father to pay. Why do I need a ptur for the children?
Father says,
"Leyin's
on the second 50. He wouldn't be
chayav shvuah
either, right? Doesn't he have to be
chofer on the second?" But does it explains why is it over here? It's chayav shvuah. Now, Shvat Hashem b'yeh ben shnehem. Shvat Hashem b'yeh ben shnehem. If it's relevant, umi she'enu chol yishavah. Someone who can't take a shvuah because it's not relevant, mishalim pays. So it doesn't say it's not because he's obligated to shvuah and he's not taking the shvuah, but because that's the way the pasuk reads. The pasuk reads, "Take a shvuah, and if you can't take a shvuah, pay." So why can't you take a shvuah? You can't take a shvuah because it's just not relevant over here. So it's not that he's chayav shvuah and he can't take it, but it's just the lack of relevance of a shvuah. So that's the way Tosos reads it over here, that the lack of relevance. That the reason he's chayav mamon is because you have a bari and a shema. Bari and a shema is chayav mamon. Then if I'm chayav mamon, then why is it that this is a proof to Rabbi Abba? It's a proof to Rabbi Abba because the way the pasuk reads, shvuat Hashem tiyah ben shnehem, you're obligated in a shvuah to be patur. If you don't take the shvuah for whatever reason, whether it's because you're chayav and you can't take it, or it's whether because you're unable because of the way you structure your claim, then mishalem, you have to pay. And that's the idea here. When you're unable to take a shvuah, you pay. And that's Rabbi Abba's position. That's the proof to Rabbi Abba, is that when you're unable to take a shvuah for whatever reason, whether it's because you're obligated in the shvuah and you can't take it, or because you can't get to the shvuah's obligation because of the way you responded, because of the shema that you responded to, you're obligated in mamon in that case. And that's Rabbi Abba's position. When the shvuah disappears, you pay. Right? No shvuah, you pay.
Therefore, the pasuk comes and tells
us
that by the
Yoshim, that's not true. By the Yoshim, even though they're making same claim, exact same claim of their father, even though they can't take the shvuah, they're not chayavim in this case.
Not chayavim, even on the...
Right, on the shema part. I mean, obviously the part they admit to, they have to pay. If they say 50 yadana that we know we're chayav, that they have that zchudat baldin, they have to pay that. But the 50 deyamar shema, where their father would be chayav, because he's unable to take a shvuah, they would be pturim, even though they're unable to take a shvuah. And that's what the puzzle comes to teach you. Shvuat Hashem teyem shleim. But, Ella, yeah, amart aviv, ki hai gavna nami patur. If you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, who say that the father in this case, mitok sheni holy shabbai, is patur, chazra shvuah the Sinai, krag gabi yorshim lamali. What do I need a puzzle by the yorshim to teach me? Rabbi Shmuel, hai shvuat Hashem, maika darshive. What are they going to do with that shvuat Hashem? They can't learn the puzzle that way. So Mar says, me by late the Tani, Shimon ben Tarfon. They have to need it for the Brisa like Shimon ben Tarfon, which we saw earlier in the Gemara on Lamed Tet, Amud Bet, which is Omer, Shvat Hashem Tiyah ben Shnehem. What is ben Shnehem? That means that the obligation of the Shua or the punishment for the Shua devolves upon both parties. So if you remember back on the Daf Lamed Tet, over there on Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, we brought the Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rabbeinu Chananel explains what does that mean. Rabbi Shimon ben Tarfon Omer Shvat Hashem Tiyah ben Shnehem Lamed Shechalal Shnehem. The obligation devolves upon both of them. Therefore, Perush Azesh Nishvah L'Sheker. The one who's lying obviously is Chayav. Right, but also valzesh natan lo b'lo edim, v'garam lo lichvor v'lishava, and the other party is culpable even though he did nothing wrong because he brought him in, he left him an opening to take a shvuat sheker by not involving edim. He creates an opening, he creates a situation in which the debtor is going to lie and take a shvuat sheker. So he's responsible for allowing such a situation. Rashi on the other hand says shlo dikdek limsor mamano biyad ne'eman. Says you're chayav over here because you didn't check the person out and you put it into a situation. You got into a situation where now there's going to be chil Hashem the shvuat sheker. So you caused or you generated part of the problem. Other rishonim, on the other hand, describe that shvuat Hashem yem shneim is whether you take a shvuat sheker or whether you take a shvuat betruth. Because shvuat sheker obviously there's a problem. Or the shvua where you don't take the, when you tell the truth, it's also a problem. Why? Because it's unnecessary. It's a shvua that shouldn't have been necessary. You could have solved the problem in another way. You could have had it be that you did it with edim. You could have solved the problem by not having to take shvua. And because of that extra shvua that you have to take, that's a shvua chav. There are other rishonim, which we also quoted at the time, which suggests that shvua Hashem ben shneim doesn't mean that both parties are chayav. It means one or the other is chayav. Along the lines of what I just described, is that either the one party who takes the shvat sheker is chayav, or the other person takes the shvat emet, right? Then the other party is chayav because he's kofer, right? He's the one who's kofer b'mamon, right? He's denying something or he's lying about something. So the other party is chayav. Only one of the two parties is chayav over here. And that's what it means, shvat Hashem din shnehem. One of the two parties will always be chayav. We don't know which one. One of the two parties is wrong over here. So that's the different ways that the Rishonim explain what it means Shvat Hashem Ben Shnehem, although the most common, and that's what Tosfos quotes over here, in according to Rashi, based on Lamed Tev, he says, V'enanasha mashbia, afil edin imimo. The mashbia, the one who's causing the Shvuah, even if he's right, he has to take a, he is punished over here by causing someone else to be put into a position where he has to take a Shvuah Sheker. The fact that he did not prevent it, he is the cause of the Shvuah Sheker, he's on the hook for this, he's on the line for this. And that's the explanation most Rishonim is that both parties are held accountable or responsible here for the Shvuah Sheker that is being taken. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Shimon ben Tarfon is, I guess, not found so many times in Shas. So once we bring him down, we're going to bring down everything that he said in Shas. Which is, Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Azara lo keva char noef minayin. Where is there an Azara warning that a person who provides or facilitates adultery, that he is violating a law in the Torah? To Amadomar lo tinaf. Torah says, lo tinaf, do not commit adultery. Read it as, lo tanif. Do not cause others to commit adultery. So therefore, if you are the one who's providing women or making it accessible to others to commit adultery, you're also responsible in that case. So it's not just lo tinaf, but lo tanif. You see a common theme, by the way, between this and the previous statement, which is that even though you're not the one doing the aveira, but since you are the facilitator of the aveira, that you are held accountable over here. V'taragnu b'aleichem, complained, right, whined in your tents about the dut of the miraglim. Shimon Tanfon Omer, that tiragnu is a notrikun. Tiragnu is tartem and ginitem. Be'olo shomakom, that you tartem, tar, I mean that's the tartem part, that you went out and investigated, spied, really looked into the land. Ve'ginitem be'olo shomakom. And then you despised or disparaged the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the place where Hashem puts his Shekhinah. You disparaged Eretz Yisrael, the Makom, the Olo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what's meant Taraglem Be'Aleichem. Right? Oleichem is not referring to Ragnu, is that Taratem Beginitem, and Oleichem is the Ohel Shel Makom, not your Ohalim here, your tent, but the tent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. Ad Anar Gadol Nahar Prat, says in the Torah describing the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, it says in the Anar Gadol Nahar Prat, and we know that Nahar Prat is the fourth of Naharot, right, the Naharot that come out of Gan Eden, so it's the smallest of them. Shimon Tarfon Omer, why is it called this? Karev legabe dehina, the one who gets close to someone who is anointed in oil, vidhin. And the Yubrikan, this is like the verb for dehina. Dehina is someone who's anointed or covered in oil. So if you get close to that person, you rub up against them, idhin. You will also take on the aroma, you will take on the smell of the oil, you will also be anointed with the oil of the person that you rub up against. So too, and the Bei Rabbi Shmuel says, Tana Eved Melech Kamelech, that the servant of the king is like the king. So since the Nahar Prat is associated with Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's called the Nahar Gadol, Nahar Prat. Even though it's the smallest of the Neharot that leave Gan Eden, nevertheless it's called Nahar Gadol because of its association with Eretz Yisrael. Right now we get to the next case in the Mishnah, which is Achenvani Al Pinkaso. Chenvani al Pinkaso is not, as you would have thought, that a Chenvani has some sort of credit that the person has, wrote down in his ledger, and he's saying, come here and pay me for that credit. That's not the case over here. The Gemara wants more sort of circumstantial evidence, or more of a juicy case, and that's what the Mishnah says. Ketzad, what's the case in the Mishnah? Case in the Mishnah is where the Baal HaBayit made a request of the Chenvani to pay on his behalf. And he does so. Comes back, the Baal says, I want to get paid. But those that were the recipients of the payment said, we never got paid. So there the Mishnah says, Nishba, the Chenvani is Nishba, and collects from the Baal HaBayit. And the Poalim, the workers, or his son, who was supposed to get the money from the Chenvani, also is Nishba, and the Baal HaBayit has to pay. So the Baal HaBayit's out twice. He has to pay twice, and they take a Shua, both parties take a Shua, because neither party believes the other. I mean, the Chenvani comes along and he says, listen, the Poalim say they never received it. He says, they're not Ne'eman to me. My relationship is with you, the Baal HaBayit. So I don't accept their Shavua. Their Shavua is not meaningful to me. I want to take a Shavua and collect from you. On the other hand, the Poalim say, we don't care about the Chenvani. Our relationship is with you, the Baal HaBayit, who has to pay us. The fact that the Chenvani says he paid us, that has no bearing on us. So therefore, both of them take a shua towards the Baal HaBayit, and then they collect Nishba v'notel in that case. So Betanya Pizra, Tanya, Amra Abi, Torach Shavua Zu Lama. Or Lama, what is the purpose of this Shavua? Why are they taking Shavuot over here? We know one of them is lying. We know one of them is not telling the truth. That's Ben Nanas' position in the Mishnah, is that either according to the Ran, only one of them should take a Shavua, or according to other Mishonim, neither party should take a Shavua here, because there's at least one Shavua checker. So why are we goreim a Shavua checker here? Why do we put people into a position where they're taking Shavua checker? So as the Rebbe says, what's the purpose of the Shavua? So I'm Rabbi Chia, right? This Talmud, Rabbi Chia says back to him, Tanino, it's an explicit Mishnah. Shneim nishbaim v'not neim mi Baal HaBayit. It's our Mishnah. What's the Mishnah here, Mishnah both Metziah, which is that they both take a Shavua and they collect. That's why they take it. That's the purpose of the Shavua. Each one will take and the Baal bites out twice. They'll have to pay for it. That's the purpose of the Shavua over here. So, Kimile or lo kibla mine. Did Rebbe accept the position of Rabbi Chia or not? That Rabbi Chia's response, did he accept it or not? Tashma. Tatanyo, we have a price of Rebbe. Omer Polim Nishbaim Lechenvani. Polim, take a Shavua to the Chenvani. Oh, wait a minute. Why are the Poalim taking Shavua to the Chenvani over here? It's our case of our Mishnah. And the Poalim are taking Shavua to the Chenvani. According to Rabbi Chia, the Poalim should be taking a Shavua to the Baal HaBayit. Why are they taking a Shavua to the Chenvani over here? It must be that Rabbi did not accept the position of Rabbi Chia. So that's what it says. V'mi'ita, if he held like Rabbi Chia, the Baal HaBayit mi boile. He should have been taking the Shavua towards the Baal HaBayit, not towards the Chenvani. So Abba Rava says, no. You're reading this braisa wrong. Poalim nishbaim the Baal HaBayit. Eno chanami, the Poalim take the Shavua to the Baal HaBayit, be'ma'amad chenvani, with the chenvani standing there. Why? So that they'll be embarrassed. Why? Because this is a case of kofar bakol. Here they're denying receiving any money from the chenvani. Now true, their relationship is with the Baal HaBayit, and that's who they have to take the Shavua to. But the only one who knows the truth of whether he paid them or not is the chenvani. If we say, Chenvani, come here and stand here, and we want to see these Poalim in the face of the Chenvani say, you didn't pay us, and take that Shavua to the Baal HaBayit. Because then they're meiz panav before the Chenvani, who knows the truth about it. And in general, we believe people will not be meiz panav when they, or kofar bakol, when there's a party there who knows the truth.
There's less reason to think that in this case, because they know that the Chenvani is not going to be out of money.
Right, yes. I mean, there's less reason to believe over here that they would not be kofar bakol, but still, it's better to have the chenvani there than not to have the chenvani there, right? They would agree. So if that's the case, we have no proof, then Rebbe could have accepted the position of Rebbe Chia in this case. Right, so now we have inconclusive, right? We don't know what Rebbe did in the end. We don't know if he accepted that position of Rebbe Chia or not. Itmar, it's not a case. Shtei kitei eidim, amachzizot zu adzo. Basically our case, which is you have two eidim, two sets of eidim that come to court, and they disagree. So we know one of them is lying. One of them is not telling the truth. Right? We don't know which one, but we know one for sure is not telling the truth. Similar to our case over here, which we have two parties taking Shavuot, and we know one of the parties is clearly lying in this case. Amar Rav Huna, Zubam Mifnei Atzma, Meida, Zubam Mifnei Atzma, Meida. If in another case, they each come independently, they can take a shvuah or they can be edim in the case, and they're considered ksherim. Why? We go by the chazakah. The chazakah is that edim are ksherim. And over here, we have no evidence of the fact that they're psulim. And we don't have even one of shach. One of them is ksherim, one of them is pasul. So since they're testifying in independent cases, we can't say that in that case they are pasul, because we don't know. We assume they have their chazakah and their ksherim. But, Rav Chisda Amar, Bahadis Adi Shakri, normally, what do I need these edim edut sheker? We hope for sure one of them is lying, and therefore we're going to be pusulim in all cases. We're going to say that why should we have edut sheker running around giving testimony and swaying cases? We know one of them is pasul. Okay, one of them is kasher, but we know at least one is pasul, and why should we allow them to then sway cases if there's a hashash that they're psulim or that they told sheker? Why should they be involved in cases? So now, here come the cases. Shnei malvin u'shnei lovin. You have two lenders and two loans or two debtors. U'shnei shtarot. And you have two contracts between them. Hainu plutayu. This is the machlokus between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. This is exactly the case. You have two independent cases, and the edim are each testifying in one of those two cases. You have a loan, right, a malvin, a lovin, and another separate case of a malvin, a lovin with a shtar, and one set of edim testifies for one loan, and the other set of edim testifies for the other loan. That's machlokus, Rav Huna, Rav Chisda. We have independent cases, the edim come, do we believe them or not? Rav Huna says, yes, we do believe them. And Rav Chisda says, we don't believe them because, right, what do we need to deal with these edim sheker? Now, Malve velove, we have a malve and a love, only one party, one debtor, one creditor, and shnei shtarot. And there are two documented loans between them. So you have two loans between the same parties. And now, these edim, one set of edim is signed on one shtar, and the other set of edim is signed on the other shtar. So over there, yad bala shtar la tachtuna. The owner of the shtar, the creditor, is at loss here. Meaning that mimono shach, one of his shtarot, is pasul. Why? Because one set of edim is definitely not kasher, and he has them signed, each one of them, each set is signed on each different shtar. So one of these two shtarot is not valid, because we have at least one set of edim that are not ksherim that are signed on one of these two shtarot. So what do we do? Yad bala shtar la tachtona. So motzi michavero la veraya. He will have to be able, the one, he will be able to claim the lower of the two shtarot. The lesser of the two, he'll say, mimon of shach, you owe me. Because either that shtar is kasher, or if this shtar is pasul, it's subsumed in the other shtar. You owe me the other shtar, and this is subsumed. So mimon shav, you have to pay me the lower of the two shtarot, and that's what it means. Yad bala shtar la tachtona. So that's everybody agrees to. And now, next case. Shnei malvin velo ve'achad. You have two creditors and one debtor. Ushnei shtarot. And you have two shtarot. Hainu matnitin. That's our Mishnah. That's exactly our Mishnah. Why is that our Mishnah? The case of our Mishnah is that you have a single party that's chayav. Who's that? The Balabayit. The Balabayit is a single party. You have two claimants. One claimant is the Chenvani, and one claimant is the Poalim. And you have two shtarot. They each have a relationship or some sort of agreement between them. So now I have, that's exactly the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is that you have two parties making a claim, and we know one party is not telling the truth. That's one party is not telling the truth, and yet we say nishba v'notel in our Mishnah, right? The case in the Mishnah is nishba v'notel. And therefore, that's the same thing as shnei malvin, two creditors, and a single debtor. So now, halchanami over here, as Rashi says, Rav Huna did le gabe shnei malvin, shnei lovin, zuba mida, hu adin l'shnei malvin v'lo v'achad, the same din as our Mishnah. And that's it. And we don't say, mimon of shach, that this lovin over here is definitely paying more than he should. Just like we say about the Balabayit, he's paying more than he should. Yes, that's true. But since we don't know which one it is, we can't be posel. We don't have a right to deny each of the creditors over here. We don't have a right, even though the Levez is double paying, we don't have a right to deny each creditor by himself. We don't have a right to deny because he has a Chezkat Kashrut, even though we know that one of them has to be lying in this case. Last case is Beit Levin, two debtors. Umalveh Echad and one creditor. Ushnei Shtarot. Over there we have two Shtarot. Mai, what's the din in that case? Teiku. There we don't know what the din is. So here we have two, right, one creditor and two debtors. Over there we don't know, because we have a single claimant, right, that's making the claim over here, but he's making it on two parties. So if you look at Rashi, that's Rashi Mai, what's the din? So Amar Rav Huna Bazeh Mi Amrinan came into Chad Gavrahu. You have a single claimant who is the creditor. We don't listen to him because we know Mimono Shach that one of the shtarot that he's bringing here is pasul. We say we can't deal with your case because we know that you have at least one shtar pasul here. Oh, Dimo came in al Shnei Lovin who Motzi Zuba Umeidav Zuba Meida. Since he's bringing up on two different parties, we say that each one stands independently. So that's a question. The teiku here is according to Rav Huna. According to Rav Chisda, lo mi bai, it's not a question. Even we have two independent creditors and two independent debtors, he says, no good. Then certainly here, we only have a single creditor, he's going to say no good. So the question is really according to Rav Huna, and there we leave it as a teiku according to Rav Huna in this one instance. Meitiv Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Echad omer gavoa bet mardot. We have testimony here, a testimony for Edut HaChodesh. One says the moon was two cow prodders high. Echad omer shlosh. And the other one says it was three high. Edutan kayemet. Because there, since their differential is only one number apart, over there we say that's a reasonable mistake or reasonable difference of opinion that does not make them to be edim mach, or edut macheshet. On the other hand, if one says Echad Omer Gimel v'Echad Omer Hey, one says it's three high, one says it's five high, that's too big a difference. Bitela. Their edut is bitela because they are machshiyot zu adzu. If that's the case, what do we have here? We have a case where you have two parties that are machshish. One of them is definitely lying. One of them is not telling the truth over here. Yet, mitztarfin le'edut acheret. They can go inch independently and mitztarif to another edut. My lav le'edut mamon. So what does it mean that they call mitzvah other eidut? That sounds like eidut mamon. They can go and join another eid and testify in another case. That would sound like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that you can go and testify. Even though we know one for sure is lying, nevertheless, when they go to other cases independently, we say they are eidim ksherim. So Mar says, no, Amar Rava, hu ve'echad mitzvahin le'idut acheret shel Rosh Chodesh. No, not that they can go testify in mamon in this case, but in Rosh Chodesh. Why? So if they're one of these two parties then goes and mitzvahs with another eid, then it's havalahu trei v'chad. Then it becomes two against one. And two eids, v'edvarim shel echad b'makom shnayim. And then one is now against two. Because now you have, for instance, if the one who has three goes finds another eid that says three, now you have two eidim saying three, and one who says five. So now, once you've done that, it's not eidut mechashet anymore, because two against one, the one goes away. And now they become eidim ksherim. So he've altered his position from being an eid mechashet to an eid kasher, because now he has a kat eidim, and he knocks away the other eid, and now they become ksherim. So that's what it means that they're kasher le'idut acheret. They're kasher le'idut acheret because, or eidut chodesh, because once he brings another eid along with him, then he eliminates the problem of hachasha, because now they become the only true eidim here, and the other eid drops away, because two against one, the other eid is irrelevant. If he's irrelevant, then they're the ones telling the truth. Therefore, their eidut works now for Rosh Chodesh, even though when they first came, you had two eidim who joined as a kat, and they were soter achadeta sheni. So there's not a proof. Again, to Rav Huna, and that's where Rav Chisda will explain that braisa, and we don't have a proof either way, but to Rav Huna or Rav Chisda from this braita that we brought over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.